Ryan Russillo has been with ESPN a long time, and he's the host of the Russillo podcast, the Russillo Show podcast on ESPN. And he was really cool to join us a couple weeks ago and had some real strong and good opinions on the Suns from a national perspective. And with the Suns' huge story coming out yesterday, the delay and the continuance in the vote, we'll get back to you in January on whether the arena should be renovated with partial taxpayer money, partial Sarver money. I thought it'd be a great time, well, I should say more specifically, Maloney did, our producer, would be a great time to have Ryan back on, and he's just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Ryan, thanks for saying yes, number one. Number two, give us this national perspective. There's a report in our local paper, the Arizona Republic, that says Robert Sarver hinted to the members of the city council, hey, if we don't get this done, I could go to take the team to Vegas. I could take the team to Seattle. I want to be fair to the Suns. The president and CEO, who's a former Marine and I have great respect for, said, we have unequivocally not used any threats like that. We're focused on going downtown. I want to ask you, do you think Suns fans should fear losing the Suns?
Yeah, I would be worried about it. I mean, I don't have greater detail than you guys do. I read all the stuff this morning.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is the game. This is the way it works. If you're not getting what you want, and it's, what, $150 to $200 million in renovations?
Correct.
That they want to do to the arena, there's not as much support for that. And that's just the way it used to always work. It was this ego thing. You're always worried you're going to lose your team. You're going to be thought of as a secondary city, or maybe even worse. So it becomes a sense of pride, and I think you get people to buy into that, and council members, and I think a lot of times the voters don't really understand how the money works, or sometimes it's like, hey, we'll just tax people more at hotels, so it won't really happen to you. And I think anybody that travels, you notice your bill, and you're like, what the hell is this? They're like, oh, you just paid for a new NBA arena.
Right.
So I don't, you know, you can get into the semantics of threat or not. I mean, Seattle existing and wanting an NBA team exists as a threat to any city that may not step up and do what their owner needs. The problem for Sarver is he's probably one of the three least popular owners in this league. So if you have more people understanding that maybe these renovations aren't worth it, or maybe the owner should just pay for it themselves, because none of these guys lose any money on selling the team. They all complain about how much they lose in yearly day-to-day operations, all that stuff. No one's ever, like, these guys don't lose any money. The appreciation of these teams has gone through the roof. I mean, Sarver spent $400 million, and I've looked at the breakdown. Like, it's not like he owns 100% of it. He's less than 50, I believe, and I don't know if that's been updated. But they'd probably be close to $1 billion on a sale price. So, you know, if he doesn't get what he wants, I would hope for Phoenix and Suns fans that have always been awesome that, you know, he would sell the team. But I don't know if he's going to do that because Seattle would probably do whatever he'd want. Vegas would probably do whatever he'd want. And it's like a total upgrade for him. So, you know, I don't know if he would sell it, because as I once read, a rich guy said, what's the point of being rich if no one knows? And that's why these guys buy these teams.
Ryan, that's fantastic.
Right. I've got to ask you, though, what do you think Adam Silver is thinking about all of this?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, you know, usually the commissioners with this stuff, like David Stern had to have known. Like, when a guy buys the Sonics with the background from where he was and what he wanted to do, like, that wasn't a huge shock that that team ended up in OKC. The problem is that Seattle should have a basketball team. So I don't think Stern, especially David Stern, man, at his peak, would be, you know, reading the paper one day going, what? Like, what? What's happening? Like, I don't want this to happen. They were really unhappy with what Seattle did. Seattle said, no, we're not doing it. Seattle's a different kind of city, you know, cities all have different sensibilities, and Seattle is like, you know, we get too many people up here going, how much are we supposed to give you for a new arena? We're sick of this. We're sick of this fight. So, you know, I mean, how do you guys, I'm actually interested, like, how do people feel there? Are people so worried that they would want to kick in money to an owner that's really had a terrible run here in a decade plus?
It's a great question, and it is, there's, I would say, a slight majority, not overwhelming, but most people attach Sarver to the money. And a lot of people look at it and say, I would be interested if it was a different owner, but I don't want to give that money to Robert Sarver. And I personally look at it as, wait a minute, I believe that the arena would be labeled obsolete, and we're either going to use taxpayer dollars to fix it or tear it down anyway.
The city owns the arena,
so
right?
Because of that, I'm kind of like, no, let's not build a new arena for Robert Sarver. He hasn't done a good enough job to own the Suns and then get a new arena. But since we've already built one with taxpayer money and it's there, we're going to have to spend the money either way. We might as well be stuck. Now, that does bring up, okay, how do you negotiate? Do you want to take it
and
say...
Yeah, and look, I've been there. I think we'd all agree it's pretty outdated. I mean, I was there not that long ago.
No, you're right.
And when you go... Right, and when you go to other NBA arenas. So this isn't some absurd ask here. And again, I'm an outsider reading the paper this morning, knowing you guys wanted me to come on.
And admittedly, that's why we wanted you to come on. We want an outsider's opinion.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like, this isn't... The Milwaukee Bucks deal is a joke. I mean, nobody wanted it, and a politician basically hooked up his buddy and said, here you go. And it's just like, what? You know, you're going to be kidding me. So I don't know if those deals are ever going to happen anymore. I mean, the numbers, like any business deal, right, you're not supposed to get emotional. So if Phoenix taxpayers want to keep the Suns there, which I imagine most of them do, and the numbers aren't as astronomical, although these things always have a tricky way of totaling up a lot more than what was originally announced. You know, I could understand them just going, hey, it's about the Suns, it's not about Sarver. But when you have Sarver who, you know, from the beginning, and every owner does this, every new owner has this thing I call new owner syndrome. They can't help themselves. They do dumb deals. They want to put a pool on the new house. And, you know, he did some of those things. And then to then go cheap, and he couldn't understand how valuable first-round picks were because of what the contract certainty was.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the history. I mean, that run of selling all the first-rounders. And that's over, like, this is over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And now you have a team that you at least thought, with three young pieces in Booker, Ayton, and Jackson, and hell, you still have to spend a 90% of the cap anyway, so it's not like you'd be cheap as an NBA owner, really. They're the worst team in the league, and it's then they're terrible.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Ryan, there's a lot of people.
We wear it.
there's a lot of people that like to say the Board of Governors in the NBA are never going to allow Robert Sarver to pick up the team and move.
I don't know about that one, man. I mean, think about this. Think how, like, we have the blueprint in front of us with other sports. And so I'm not saying the NBA is the same as the NFL, but usually billionaires are kind of aligned. And we heard forever, oh, you know, the Rams won't be able to move, the Raiders won't be able to move. And guess what they did? They just went and did it.
Yeah.
They just did it. They
and
did
all the other NFL owners made money from it by the relocation fees.
Absolutely. There's a massive relocation fee. I mean, it's why the NHL keeps expanding. I mean, granted, it's a new, more recent thing, but they had that absurd run there, you know, 15 years ago where they were just pocketing all the expansion fees.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, this is great. Mm-hmm. So the NFL, Jerry Jones told Kroenke, he's like, just buy the property. Just do whatever you want to do. We'll figure it out later. And it worked out. I remember, you know, working, it was my first gig in this business, and I was up in Vermont, but I was a Patriots fan, and I'm, you know, from Massachusetts. And Robert Kraft threatened to move the Patriots to Hartford. And they even went to this, and look, I lived in Hartford, okay? And there was this mall that used to have the Whalers, and it was this weird thing, and he brought Bruce Armstrong, his left tackle, with like mock-ups of what the new stadium was going to look like. And it was all to try to get Massachusetts to help him out. And now, granted, Kraft ended up paying a lot for that stadium on his own. But trust me, like there's a way if Sarver says, I want out, I do think a lot of these guys feel like they owe it to each other to allow everyone to maximize their asset. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what's scary for Phoenix. So we can sit here and say, oh, no, you know, the tradition and the NBA would never want that to happen. I don't know, man. There's 30 guys in there that have all created enough personal wealth to own one of these teams. And it's sort of understood that you just don't get in my way if I have a sweetheart deal somewhere else. That's how I read it, and that's certainly what's happened before.
We're talking to Ryan Russillo. He's the host of the Russillo Show podcast on ESPN. Really good NBA dude. I'm going to go to the game tonight that's at our unrenovated arena and Talking Stick Resort Arena. Ryan Russillo's opinion in June, Ayton versus Ayton or Doncic, and your opinion now, Ayton or Doncic.
I like Ayton a lot, and I still do. And I feel like there is always this immediate thing of no matter who the player is and all the tape and all that stuff, like, is it going to work once he gets out there? And Ayton, to me, has passed that test, as frustrating as it's been for him certain moments, because it just, look, it sucks to lose this much. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty clear that Doncic has something that is special. And so I was fine with Ayton going one, even though I really liked Doncic back then. But now I don't think you can make that argument, because Doncic has this absurd old man understanding of the game, this presence out there that's just a little different. And I mean, we can go numbers to numbers and say, hey, it's not that big of a gap. But when you watch him, and, you know, some of this too, yeah, I always try to get a little, you know, I just keep myself in check a little bit when it's a guy on a terrible team. But he's just doing things. His understanding of angles, the way he dribbles, mm-hmm. his start-stop stuff. He's a better shooter. He's so big that he can get away with defending guys and switching on to people. And I remember I went on, I don't know if it was First Take or what, and I said he reminds me of Harden a little bit, breaking down his tape. And I got laughed out of the room. I mean, you're like, dude, you compare a white guy to a black guy? Like, that's against the rules. He has to look like it. He has to be Peja or, like, smaller Dirk. Like, what, are you new here?
Yeah.
So I think it's played out that way. I think he does have this amazing pick-and-roll understanding. Hey, look, just where he's at mentally in the game, I don't know if Ayton will ever get there. And I'm not trying to say that as a knock on Ayton, but that's the separation of those two guys right now. Even though I still really like Ayton, I think the biggest problem for you guys is that, you know, you've had numerous drafts that gave you nothing. Booker's regressing because he's playing out of position, and now you have a point guard that's taken over the last month, and you're terrible on defense, and you're actually terrible on offense. And, you know, it's good that Josh is playing again now, but I don't know. Like, the best version of this story is I could say, hey, you have three really nice pieces, and then some nights I go, what if they don't have three stars at all? What if they don't even have one?
No. Oof. You know what, Ryan? We've had you on twice now, so I'm going to start calling you Russ, okay? Is that cool? I mean, hey, thank you, buddy.
That was great.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.